Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1 this morning. Out of respect for the Bible, let's all stand as I read just two verses. You'll only be standing a few seconds this morning for this. John chapter 1. I call your attention to verse 11. I want you to keep your attention on the words while I preach this morning. On the words, come and came. Going to make a big difference. Verse 11. He came unto his own, talking of Jesus, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came. That's what Christmas is all about. Praise God, he came. I pose the question to you this morning. If Jesus didn't come, Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the preaching of your word this morning. I pray that you'd open hearts, open minds. Lord, that we might have a heart and an attitude, Lord, to receive him. May we put aside all pride. May we put aside all presumptions. May we put aside anything that would bar the truth of the Word of God entering us this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus coming. Bless in the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, please, chapter 1. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Here's the historical fact. If you cannot find the different scriptures that I'll be looking at this morning, please don't look for them if you don't know where they are. Just listen. I'll guarantee you it's in the Bible. You can check them out some other time, but important that you get the message. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 tells the fact. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, as did the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. You'll never be born again, you'll never be saved from hell if you don't believe in miracles. Because you, to be saved, you got to believe in the miracle of the virgin birth. The many miracles that Jesus did in his lifetime, the many miracles through history as you study it out, the many miracles in the Old Testament, the many miracles that happen around this world, even today, miraculous things happen because there's a miraculous God that's alive and well. There's only one God. What happened on Christmas? That's God's provision for man's need. That's what it's all about. God provided what was necessary for our need. Man needs a Savior. Man needs someone to redeem them. We need someone to save us from ourselves, from our sin. A spiritual salvation. Not surviving an accident or something that happened in your life and said, oh yeah, I'm saved. God saved me there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual salvation. I'm talking about your old man that lives inside of you, sinful, ungodly, wicked thoughts, imaginations of the heart. God sees all of that. Right. We're all laid up with it. Who's going to save us from that? The Holy Spirit coming within you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He'll save you and take you to heaven when you die, my friend. Many today don't receive a way of escape from hell. Remember the first verse that we read there in Romans 1? He came to those that would believe, call upon his name. He gave them the power to become the children of God. I'm a child of God because of him. I'm not following a religion, a church, tradition. I'm not following any of that. I'm following the living God. I have fellowship with him every day. You won't have that until you're born again. You've got to have a new birth, my friend. But what if Jesus didn't come? Because he did come, we have responsibility given to us. We have opportunity given to us. What are we going to do with it? We're going to ignore it? You're going to go through life? No change in your life? No salvation? No, it's your responsibility. For your own soul, Jesus said, what's the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's your responsibility, my friend. The gift has been given to you. The manger. The Lord Jesus. God in flesh. Let himself be taken by wicked men and crucified. His blood shed for your sin. So you could have forgiveness of your sin, and that you could know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Don't spurn that. That's your responsibility. Be responsible for your soul. I'm not going to look to the government for that one. Yeah. And he gives you a great opportunity to do it. Even being in this church, under the preaching of God's word, from the King James Version of the Word of God, that's an opportunity you have. Don't waste it. This is a precious time right now when we gather together will never be in this situation ever again in history. Same people here, under the same circumstances that's going on in your life, the same thoughts you have, your body's condition, hearing this message, it'll never happen again exactly like this. This is a precious time, brother. Time is fleeting. What I said 5 minutes ago, it's gone. We need to act within our life and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more evidence to this virgin birth that Jesus Christ was alive, walked this earth, died on a cross, rose again, than any other historical fact in history. I'm a history buff. You can talk to my wife about that. On the History Channel all the time, right? But that's right. This is a fact, brother. This isn't something that's a wives' tale or something. This book right here is pure and it's inerrant. Every word of it. I can prove that. How can I prove it? Through prophecy, through mathematics, through science. The Bible is not a scientific book, but everything it talks about that happened according to science, it already talked about it. Science is finally catching up to the Bible. And so we've got everything that we need there to be able to understand. Go back to John chapter 1. I have to hurry this morning. Lots of material to give you. And want you to pay attention so you don't waste your time in church. John chapter 1 talks about the Lord Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, and in John, it says there in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Amen. Did you notice that it didn't say that man became God? The Bible teaches just the opposite than Mormonism. It teaches that God became man, not man became God. Joseph Smith had it all wrong. Everybody that followed him and still following him. Their phrase is, "As man is God, once was, as God is man, shall be." Got news for you. There's only one true God. Men do not become God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2, most of you are Bible believers, and you read your Bible every day. So you know the books of the Bible, you memorize them, you can follow along. If you don't know it though, like I said, just listen. I want you to get the message. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. That's not what I want. Chapter 3, verse 16. 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory." Amen.
Amen.
That's pretty plain. The Bible says that Jesus is God. He wasn't just a great teacher. He just wasn't a good man. He wasn't a good, just a good example. He was all of those things. But brother, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came, is that the word you're supposed to listen for? Came to save sinners. He came to save the lost. That's why he came in the first place, my friend. He came to be your Savior. Yes, that little baby that was born of a virgin back there in Bethlehem. Did you ever notice that God never tries to explain his existence? There's two reasons for that. First of all, if he did explain it to you, you couldn't comprehend it. And secondly, it's unnecessary to know. There is enough evidence of God everywhere. It says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Amen. It's everywhere. There has to be a creator. This craziness about, everything all got together and blew up. Yeah, right. And now everything's organized and now universe is... every day and we're spinning on an accident. All of that was just an accident. Is that right? And that's supposed to be science, and there isn't anything scientific about evolution at all. Zero. That is a theory of evolution. Anyway, I won't get hung up on that. But anyway, we have to have a intellectual designer. We have to have someone that is smart to put everything together. Your body is designed. You know, you got these cars out here that we drive around and everything. Just all of a sudden, here in Dearborn, Michigan, there was a big explosion. And out came these GM cars. Do you believe that? There's got to be an intelligent designer. It's the same with the world. Everything you look at, the more you look at things through the microscope, you can't even understand the mind of man, let alone anything else. And you know what? This designer, God himself, the creator of everything, he's interested in you. That's the greatest miracle of everything. Why would he be interested in you? Go to Isaiah chapter 7, please. The book of Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now I want you to notice that this is written 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Another name for Jesus. It means God with us. That's who he is. So here, the sign is that a virgin, that is a woman that never knew a man, brings forth a baby. Amen. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. I won't have you turn to it. You'll be looking forever. there in the Bible. But it tells you even where he was going to be born, in Bethlehem. This is all prophesied. What are the chances of all of that coming true? Just those two. And there's all kinds of prophecies about Jesus and in his life and so forth. Figure it out, my friend. You know what happened here in this on Christmas? God used a wicked, lost king to set the stage for the birth of Jesus Christ. Caesar Augustus. I don't have enough money. I'm going to tax all of the people. Sounds like our IRS or Biden or somebody. Anyway, so everybody went to their hometown to pay their taxes. And sure enough, on the journey, she was ready to give birth and it happened to be Bethlehem. Well, that was just a coincidence that it was prophesied 700 years before. Craziness people come up with, I'll tell you. But God used that wicked king to fulfill the prophecy of what was going on. Jesus came for a purpose, my friend. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I am come. Is that one of your key words? I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. America's in spiritual darkness today, my friend. Yes, this world is. And you don't know any different until somebody shines the light on it. And that's what he came to do, my friend. The Gospel of John, everybody can get to that real quick. Go to John again. Just some things I want to show you quickly. John chapter 6. How interested are you to get this settled in your life about your eternal salvation? About when you die? Because you don't know when you die. You're going to die and go to hell? Jesus Christ made it possible you can go to heaven. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, for I came, is that the key word? I came down from heaven. Now you got to deal with that, friend. Right. He's either a liar or he's telling the truth. What is it? He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. John 10:10, he says, I have came to give them a life and to give it to them more abundantly. Amen. These are the reasons why he came. Now he either came or he didn't come. He's either God or a phony and a fake. What are you resting in? What are you resting your eternal life on? What you think or what grandpa said or, oh, I've always been this this religion and that. And what do you... The Bible tells you the truth. Receive the truth, my friend. Even with people's lives are crumbling before their very eyes. And they have no interest. They say they're not interested. I've talked to a lot of people in the 45 years of preaching. People, they won't listen. Oh, I'm not interested. You're not. Interest. Whew. Is that a foolish thing to do or what? You see, by coming, he made us accountable. Just how would things be if Jesus had not came? Number one, there would be no Christmas. Elementary, right? There'd be no such thing as Christmas in the world. In 1934, there was a cartoon drawer worked for the Chicago News. His name was Vaughn Shoemaker. And he drew the cartoon at Christmas time and was going to publish it. He did this every day, but this time it was a manger thing, and it said John 3:16 at the bottom of it. Now, this is in a public newspaper back in 1934, and the manager came up, said, "No, somebody's going to get offended about that. Take that off." He said, "I will not." And so there was a dust up over that thing, you know, he was going to quit and everything else going on. All of a sudden, the publisher, John Knox of the Chicago Daily, he saw what was going on. He said, "Run it." Praise God for Vaughn Shoemaker. You never heard about him in your life. But he put his foot down and said, "I'm going to print the truth." I wish all of our newspapers do that. Amen. CNN and all of them, that'd be a great thing. Amen. Instead of the lies. I'm just saying, there is a Christmas, but if Jesus never came, then there wouldn't be a Christmas. You say, well, preacher, we'd still have Christmas. Remember Santa. Is that right? You know who Santa was? He was just a figment of somebody's imagination. No, he was a real man. He just wasn't called Santa. He was a bishop of a church in Turkey in 270 A.D. Nicholas was his name. And Dutch folklore got a hold of this thing because he was very charitable. When I say bishop, I'm talking about a pastor of a church. I'm a bishop. I'm an elder. The Bible has many different names for it. But anyway, when he go out to the poor people and they had the poor the kids didn't have anything, and he would leave gifts inside their windows and stuff. During the night, you just leave them for anybody. And he was and nobody knew who it was, but they finally caught him, of who was giving away all of this free stuff, you know, food and everything else going on. And he was very charitable, very kind, and so forth. And they made him a saint, Saint Nicholas. Real man, real place. But you see, you can't be a saint unless there's a Christ. If Jesus never came, there wouldn't be a Saint Nicholas. So you wouldn't have any Christmas under any pretense at all. Never happened. Jesus is a salvation. And I'm hurrying on this. What else wouldn't you have if Jesus didn't come? You wouldn't have churches. This church wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be any churches anywhere that preached the truth in any way, shape, or form. But in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is the one that built this church. I mean, not this building. A church is people. You're supposed to assemble yourselves together and be faithful in that, to worship Him. There wouldn't be any church if there wasn't a Christ. Imagine that. All you'd have is the kind of churches they got over in Russia. They're government churches. They preach what the government tells them to preach. Nothing about Bible or Christ or anything else, you know. If there wasn't any churches, all you would have for any kind of worship is synagogues and pagan temples. That's all you'd have. America has been blessed to have churches that preach righteousness, that preach the truth. Well, you go back to those first days, 1776, 78, Revolutionary War, all of that's going in there. Churchmen picking up arms and going and fighting the British, trying to take away our freedom. That's how America started, my friend. America was based and started on Christian principles. And those principles give light. Christ came to give light, direction within our lives. How would you know which way to go? Churches are the conscience of a nation. They're supposed to have an outcry against sin. Churches are the moral fiber of a nation. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." He's talking about the Antichrist here. The whole thing is, in verse 4, he's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. This is the Antichrist, 666 and so forth. You find in Revelation, it explains it all. But it says here, to be revealed in this time, verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." Bible says there's going to be a time when Christ comes and takes his bride, his church, home. There's going to be a time coming up, we don't know when it is, called the rapture, when everybody that's saved will go with him to heaven. Do you think this world is wicked now with the churches that we have? Wait until all of the churches are gone. All of the saved Christians are gone. Nothing to hold back, sin. Woo! The Antichrist will come. If Jesus didn't come, there wouldn't be any America. Because America was based on the Bible. Those pilgrims came out of England, first one up to Holland, then around, and finally Columbus. Columbus was a saved man. I got his testimony of why he made that trip. All about it. It was all spiritual. It's all by saved people. America, there would be no America because you wouldn't have any pilgrims. You wouldn't have anything. They wanted a land to come to where they could practice their faith without persecution. Boy, that'd be good if we could do that, huh? How about Benjamin Franklin? He finally said, if a sparrow cannot fall without his notice, God's notice, then a nation cannot rise without his blessing. Benjamin Franklin. By the way, there wouldn't be any New Testament. In the Bible, you just have the Old Testament. Because if Christ didn't come, that's what the New Testament's all about. Can you imagine having a Bible just with the Old Testament? That's what the Jews do. No, heaven received Christ. Benjamin Franklin quoted Matthew 6. So if you didn't have the New Testament, you wouldn't have Benjamin Franklin quoting that. How about Patrick Henry? What's he known for? It was a phrase he was known for. Give me liberty or give me death. You know what else he's famous for? This isn't publicized too much. Quote, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not upon religions, plural, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Patrick Henry. Thomas Jefferson said, God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and that his justice cannot sleep forever. We're reaping it now, folks. Some people praying, oh, don't let the judgment of God fall. I got news for you. You're living through the judgment of God right now. Crazy stuff that comes out of the White House and the way people live. My goodness. It's a blessing to live in a righteous nation, brother, and it's not a blessing to live in a nation that isn't righteous. And that's where we see ourselves right now. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. You know what else wouldn't be if Jesus didn't come? There would be no Christian music. No more Jesus loves me. This I know. No more Amazing Grace. So forth. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You know where that kind of singing comes from? It comes from joy in the heart. Something that's real within a person. People go around and sing rock and roll songs and all this kind of garbage. Why? That's what's in their heart. I don't know about you, but I got Christ in my heart. Amen. I don't deserve him, that's for sure. There would be no Christian music. Go to John chapter 4. We'll be closing soon. word soon is kind of a vague word. Could mean anything. John chapter 14. Verse 18. John 14, 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If he did not come, there would be no comfort in the world. People going through life with no joy. I didn't know what real joy was until I became a Christian. 1968. Got out of the Air Force. Was a drunk. Blasphemer, curse up and down. Do every wicked sin you can think of. There's no reason on earth why I should be saved. But God put it in my heart, my mind, about my eternal soul, what was going to happen to me when I died. 1968, I humbled myself. I wept over it. I was sincere from my heart. I repented. My life changed. And it wasn't until then that I knew what joy was. If Jesus didn't come in this table through all of the prophecy, there would be no comfort in the world. Can you imagine a preacher at a bedside of a dying person, and he doesn't have anything, any hope to give them at all? No comfort. Well, you can make up stories and everything, but nothing that's true. God's given women a place of dignity and honor. It was Christ that did that. So the Christian culture would be gone if he didn't come. Be no righteousness. Be no righteous people. People walk around in their self-righteousness, proud of themselves, which is a sin, patting themselves on the back. Oh, I'm a pretty good person. Boy, I heard that until I'm sick of hearing it. No, you're not a good person. Two more things, and I'll close. Ephesians chapter 2. Book of Ephesians chapter 2. Next week I'll be 77. I'm a youngster next to Dan.
I'm in better
shape. Closer to death every day. Guess what? You are too. No matter what you're eating. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. If Christ didn't come, there'd be no hope. What's your hope? When people don't have hope, they commit suicide. Now, I'm anxious to go to heaven. Amen. I know where I'm going. It has nothing to do about who I am or what I do or pastor or anything. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Christ is the one that saved me from the pit of hell. Christ is the one that gave me a free gift. That's why we give gifts on Christmas. Follow his example. That's why I'm going to heaven. He promised me. If he goes back on his promise, I won't go to heaven. But guess what? He's never lied. Because he's God. That's one thing God cannot do. He can do everything else, but he can't lie. Amen. You know what the last thing is? There'd be no gospel. If he didn't come, there'd be no gospel. There'd be no plan of salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Talking about Christ. Acts 4, 12. Nobody'd ever go to heaven. First Corinthians 15:19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." When you're miserable, you're acting like an unsaved person. Because when you're saved, you got hope. You get joy. You got Christian songs. You got people that love you. I mean, really love you. You have Christian friends that are living for God. This thought of this message, what if Christ never came? That's a scary thought. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he came. Amen. And I'll celebrate that till I don't have any more breath. I'll preach it from the housetops. I'll do everything I can because I don't want people to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. That's what Christ came to do. That's why he was born. Nothing else matters, friend, if Christ wasn't born. How is it with you? Have you had that day where you were born again, given a new life in Christ? Saved from sin, saved from hell, given the assurance of heaven that's true, based on a book that's true, based upon the promises of God himself. I encourage you to get saved if you're not. Don't play religion. Don't play good guy. You be real with yourself, real with God. God knows you. Other people don't know about you, but God knows you.
Yes, he does.
Be real for once in your life. Admit your sin, confess it to him. Amen. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's the promise. Mm-hmm. I pray you will. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that Christ came. Thank you that we can celebrate that. Lord, we can celebrate it every day. We don't even have to wait until December. Lord, help us to celebrate that, yes, and rejoice that Christ did come. May you save the lost this morning. May you revive the backslidden this morning. Do your great work in Jesus' name. Amen.